Okay, guys, we're going to look at chapter 10 today. We're going to look at verses 1 to 22. Now, Paul's going to focus back in on the issue of idolatry. Now, you're like, wow, what is he just all of a sudden changing? No, he's hitting a bigger issue. Remember, the question was about people eating meat offered to idols. And so he spent a whole lot of discussion about freedom, okay? Yeah, you have freedom, but you got to curtail your freedom for the sake of somebody who's weaker in the faith, who might have a problem with that. And so now he's going to go over back into the issue of idolatry. And he's going to give some warnings here, because while we may have freedom, there is something else that we need to consider. Now, in this section of verses, we are familiar with one of the verses because we may often quote it. There is no temptation taken to man except that which is common to man. You guys know that verse? You know, and that is a good verse to memorize and to remember for your own life. But we also need to remember the greater context of what he's talking about here. So we're going to look at that today. So why don't we look, first of all, at verses 1 to 6. Because what he's going to do is he's going to talk about Israel and the example of Israel. So if you notice with me what he says. Verse 1, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did." All right, so let's talk about what he's saying here, because it seems you guys might be familiar with what happened in the wilderness, and you're familiar with the Exodus, and you're familiar about the pillar of cloud, and you're familiar with them going through the Dead Sea, and you're familiar with them getting manna in the morning 6 days a week. On the sixth day, they would have a double portion for the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. And you're familiar about Moses striking the rock and water coming out of it. But when you read what Paul's saying here, it's similar, but also odd. You know, like, wow, he's saying Christ followed them? I'm not sure what I understand what he's talking about, or he's being baptized here. Well, let's take a look. So, first of all, in verses 1 to 4, we're going to see some privileges that were given to Israel, okay? So God provided guidance to Israel through the Holy Spirit with the cloud. Now, you guys remember the pillar of cloud that they followed? And the pillar that would be cloud during the day and fire during the night, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that's what he's referring to here, that they had basically guidance through their journeys with the Spirit. So when the cloud moved, they moved with the cloud. When the cloud was stationary, they stayed, okay? So basically, he's talking about guidance. He's going to talk about salvation now. God brought Israel to salvation through the Red Sea. And we pretty much know the practical aspect of that. They're on the shore of the Red Sea. Who's coming? The Egyptian army. And they're all panicking. If you read the passage, they're fussing at Moses. You brought us out here to die. And he says, be still, right? He tells them to be still and see the hand of God. And, of course, God brought them through the Red Sea, but didn't just bring them through the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptian army. You know what I'm saying? So we have here that God provides guidance. God provides salvation. But then God also provided for their needs. Manna in the morning. And not just manna, certain times he provided quail, okay? He provided water for them. This is the point that Moses is making. Now the problem is, when you get to verse 5, He wasn't happy with them. The Lord wasn't happy with him. Even though he did these things, God was not happy with them. What do you mean? Well, God still punished Israel for their rebellion. Now, let me just stop for a moment. What kind of impression would it make on you if you saw a pillar of cloud that is different than anything else in the world you've ever seen before, that becomes a pillar of fire in the evening, that guides you wherever you're going, tells you where to be? What kind of impression would it be that you're on the Red Sea, God opens up the ocean to where you can walk on dry ground, and then while you're going through, this army comes after you and God wipes them out? What kind of impression would it be that you don't need to worry about food because every morning there's manna from heaven, you got to go work and gather it, but it's there, and then you enjoy quail, God provides that every once in a while, and then water, he provides the water. Now, would that make an impression upon you? Like what kind of impression? God's taking care of me, right? All right, this is what is the story of the Jews. This is the story of the Jews. In the sense that God did all these miraculous, marvelous things and is taking care of them, but they still complained, they still murmured, they still rebelled. What do you mean they rebelled? Well, if you read through the passages of Numbers and Deuteronomy, they were worshiping the goat gods at the same time. Really? They're herdsmen, okay? You remember they're herdsmen, so they're worshiping whatever the herdsmen gods are. The goat gods is what they're referred to. They're going off into idolatry. They're murmuring against God. They're complaining. Does that make sense when you think about all this other stuff that God's doing? What's really the issue here? Okay, took it for granted. They thought they deserved it. What else? Anybody else got a thought? Unbelief. They don't trust. Okay, that's good. Good, John. Anybody else? What do you think the overall issue here is? Okay, they're not thankful. Okay. They don't want to follow God because what's wrong with them? Anybody? What's wrong with them? I like to distinguish it as their heart's not right. Because you can have all the facts in the world. And look, folks, we're not just talking about them believing in an unseen God and hearing somebody's testimony. They're literally seeing the testimony every day. Every day they're seeing the testimony of God in their presence, and they refuse to what? Believe, right? It's a heart issue. It really is a heart issue. In fact, this helps, if we understand that, this helps make sense later. So when Jesus comes back, he sets up a 1,000-year kingdom. Satan is bound for 1,000 years and tossed into the abyss. At the end of the 1,000 years of peace, of Jesus being in our midst, Satan is released from his presence, from his prison, and he deceives the nations once again, and all the nations rise up to go to war against who? Jesus. Does that make sense? What makes it make sense is that they never really have the hearts to believe. Now, the interesting thing, it's not that big of a battle. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes them immediately. You understand what I'm saying? And so when you understand, so everybody here has somebody they know that doesn't know Jesus, right? You have probably spent time talking with them about Jesus, right? You have even talked to them about what Jesus does in your life. Now, is it possible that they, even in spite of all of that, they still don't want to believe, right? What's the issue? I can tell you what it's not. Well, it's not that you didn't have enough knowledge to talk to them about it. I hear that sometimes. Well, if I knew what you knew, George, I could do a better job. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. There's a greater issue going on, and the issue has nothing.